Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. Tell him it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Thank you to the praise team for leading us in worship this evening. And to God be the glory. Somebody say amen. You have your Bibles standing with me in honor of reading of the word of the Lord here tonight. And greet you in Jesus' name. I'm Pastor Pinero, and welcome to Revival Tabernacle. Amen. Midweek Bible study. And we're turn to the book of James, and then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18, James 3 and 10. I hope you brought your Bibles with you to the house of God. And we need our Bibles. We need the Word of the Lord. And we read from the Word of God. The Word of God says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And the proverb writer writes in Proverbs 18 and 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, speak life. Speak life. I want to talk to you this evening on this thought. Speak life. Just real simple. Speak life. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight. We thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word, God, for the praise and the worship, the offering, God, pre-service prayer. We ask that you would move in a mighty way through your word, God. Convict, edify, restore, bless, challenge us, God. In your name we pray. Let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. An out of control world doesn't mean we serve an out of control God. The talk or conversation of crisis or criticism, a word that's been used quite often, woke, disgruntled attitudes, or just flat out carnality, ought not to be in the spiritual makeup of a Holy Ghost filled believer. Amen. Come on, somebody. I want to reiterate something that's kind of been in this vein I've been in for the last couple of weeks. But we are not like everyone else. We are not to blend in. You should not be looking to blend in. This is not the time to blend in. And the darker it gets, the brighter you should shine, however big or small or weak your light is. We are to be ambassadors for Jesus. We are to be in alignment with God, with his word, and with his people. You can't be in alignment with God and be out of alignment with your fellow brother or sister. This is not original, but you can't be right with the master and not right with your pastor. You can't say you love God and not love your brother. In words, our speech, our talk, our texts, our lyrics, our words and expression or utterance, they're powerful. Whoever said, Brother Jess, whoever told us in school that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us, they lied. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And is our speech contradicting who or what we're trying to be in the kingdom? Consider these things. Because I'm talking about speaking life. So, are you tempted to escalate conflict? Or pass along gossip? Or fan the flame of discord? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Notice this. for they shall be called the children of God. Words are powerful. You know, James tells us you can tame an animal, you can tame fish in the sea, snakes, even snakes. Don't anybody want to be messing with a snake, right? Snakes come out and get you. But the tongue. Oh, yeah. One word can change the whole spectrum of somebody's life or mood or outcome or future. And this is not all bad. My Bible study is not, well, pastor's going to, because somebody's been gossiping. If you've been gossiping, you feel like you need to gossip, well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But James 1:26 says, if any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And you know how we feel about religion at Revival Tabernacle, right? It's about relationship with God. Your words can either speak life or they could speak death. It's been said that great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. Ephesians 4:29 says, notice this. This is if you're taking notes, you need to highlight this in your Bible. Notice it, Ephesians 4:29 and verse 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your neighbor's mouth, but that which is out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Somebody say edifying. Edifying. That means to build up. When you look at that word in its original writing, when you look at it in the, it says it's what an architect would do to construct something, to build something, edify. But that which is good to the use of building up. Notice this, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, not torment, not frustration, not bad or evil. And notice what this says. Anybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Some of you? Does the Holy Ghost have you? Right? And notice this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So when it says let no corrupt, it means to let no rotten, worthless, or reproachful, or anything that has a tendency to injure or defame the interest or name of somebody else. I want you to think about now, because there is a lot of negativity going on in our world, and there's a lot of people that are, that's all they can talk about. That, you don't even have to, sitting in the chair, at the barber shop, you can just hear all kinds of negativity going on, and we've got to understand that we are set here for a purpose, to shine, to let our lights shine. We should not get caught up in the affairs of this world, but we are to speak life into situations. Edify is not a word that the non-believers use, right? They like to tear down and belittle. They play by a different standard. The world's dark. Ephesians 5 tells us to walk as children of the light. The world is evil. It's ruthless. It's demeaning. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Even dogs aren't safe anymore, right? We are not the world. We're the church. In fact, we're the church of the living God. And we're not in competition one with another. We need to be about the kingdom. In fact, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we are. And we need not have no guile in our speech. They should hear us talk and hear somebody else talk and be like, yeah, I'd rather hang out with this, be around this person. They're kind of goofy, but I feel better when I'm around them because they're not cursing. They're not talking about sleeping with Joe's wife's brother's cousin's friend and don't cover for me over here, and so I can be over here and with somebody, some other homie's girl. No, that child of God don't have no business two timing with anything or anybody. Proverbs, Psalms 32 and 2 says, blessed is the man unto the whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. We need not to have ourselves putting up stumbling blocks for somebody else by what we say. Because the world will write negative reviews, right? Just think, oh, you go to, you know, they do it. It's comical. I need to stay on track here, but it's comical because somebody will order a salad. I don't want no spinach in my salad. I don't want no croutons, no tomato. I want no salad dressing. And then they'll write a review about the food tasted nasty. Right? I mean, right? You know somebody that knows somebody that's like that, right? They'll rate you. They'll grade you. They'll use you. That's the fruit of this world. That is the fruit and the evidence of the people that are living in sin and bondage. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Ephesians 5 and 9 tells us, notice this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Somebody say truth. Notice this, if you're taking notes, write this down. Proving, verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not acceptable to your teacher, your professor, your doctor, your financial planner, your neighbor, your husband, your pastor. It's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. And I'll add this just for fun. But James goes on and writes later on in chapter 5, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you say, well, I just sat there and I said nothing. Well, guess what? You knew better. Why do they feel so comfortable talking about me in front of you? If they're talking about me in front of you, guess what they're doing when they're somewhere else? Oh, yeah. Well, we don't know nobody like that here, though, right? People are not perfect, right? People have issues. People have bad habits. They have quirks. They have difference of opinions. And guess what? You're a person. I know some folks have a hard time defining what a woman is and what a man is, but we don't have that problem at Revival Tabernacle. You're a person. You're not a robot. So we should be speaking life in the circumstances. Notice this, Romans 12 and 1. Paul writes, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to everyone on social media and all the likes. Oh, acceptable unto God. Interesting. Which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, notice this, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Someone shout, speak life.
Speak life.
Edification is building up. It's not tearing down. It's not telling your kids you're good for nothing. It's not telling your kids I brought you in this world. That's not edification. Name calling is not edification. Being negative is not edification. Notice this, be therefore, Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of Christ as dear children.
Yes.
Notice this, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. Notice this, in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, notice this, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. All the saints say amen.
Amen.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Picking on each other, capping on one another. Remember when we used to cap on people in school, Jess? We never did that, but remember, right? Right? But which are not convenient. But then Paul puts this in here. He says, but rather giving thanks. I know this, Sister Eva's going to help Pastor. Brother Elder Ousley, I know this is old-fashioned, but saying please and thank you is still right.
Yes.
Edification. It's building up, right? Having anti-faith and anti-hope and chicken little syndrome, you know, the sky of the, that's not, listen, that's what the world does. Ephesians 5 and 7 says, be not therefore partakers with them. The world has a reason to be stressed out. You don't have a reason to be stressed out. Right? It's because they've allowed themselves to entertain with thoughts and ideas and opinions and motives and ambitions and music and movies and spirits that are not edifying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the boogeyman is real or not, but I know that spirits are real. This is free. But if the devil can't bring you down, he'll build you up. If he can't get you oppressed, addicted, he'll let a spirit of pride rise up in you. Where you'll sit during song service, won't lift your hands. Come on, somebody. Edifying. Edifying. Got to speak life. But Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I like what Ephesians 5 and 10 says in the New Living Translation. If you're taking notes, you want to look at the New Living Translation. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Amen. Telling your kids that you love them. Yes. Edification. Yes. Builds them up. Right? Kids, telling your parents that you love them. Telling them, thank you for this wonderful dinner, Mom, that you got at Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's so good. Thank you. All the mamas say amen, right?
Yes.
I salute you parents. I'm telling you, those of you that work a career, have a career, or have a job outside the home, I my hat's to you. And then I'm not uplifting her, please, because somebody's going to get offended. Well, I work two jobs, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to say no names, but you go to work and you rush to church to get involved in ministry, and you're faithful at it. Week, the church can count on you. Worthy of double honor. Saints telling one another, I love and appreciate you. Brother Andrew, I love and appreciate you. Brother Andrew, amen. Faithful. Not telling somebody, you get on my last nerve. Right? The office. You get on my last nerve. It would help some of you to write an email and then delete it and not send it to somebody. You might feel better. But I'm talking about speaking life. Walk in, you know, you walk into a situation and it's all bad. Find something good to say. This is the day the Lord has made. There's a purpose. There's a reason why we're facing what we're facing, what we're going through. Come on, somebody. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So let me take a time out. Let me go pray for a moment. I'll come back.
Hallelujah.
You know, the tongue kills, but it never draws blood. The Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Like what David said. He said in Psalm 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. We've got to speak and have actions and words of compassion.
Right.
Compassion. Pastor Pinero, I didn't used to be very compassionate. I mean, just being transparent with you. But when you start praying for God to give you a pastor's heart, he'll put you through some things that'll break you down. Amen. And you be compassionate.
Yes, that's good.
We've got to speak words and have actions of faith. Well, I'm just an optimist. I just call it like I see it. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith. But, you know, the numbers don't lie. The doctor said this. The attorney said this. You know, aren't you seeing the news? No, I'm not seeing the news. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I'm going to speak life. Right? That's what Mark tells us. Mark 10 and 27. Jesus just called it. And he just said, hey, yeah, with men, it's impossible.
Right.
But with God, all things are possible. Someone shout, speak life.
Speak life.
First Timothy 2 and 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So he's not saying get up in spiritual wickedness in high places. But he is saying, pray for all those that are in authority that we can have a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and, notice this, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, I'm the first to admit I've been pretty grumpy about some things going on beyond my control in a big house that's white. But I'm not from that kingdom. The only thing I can do is pray, trust God, so that we can do what the scripture says. So I'm going to speak life. God, convict them, save them, do what you did in the scripture. Saul was pretty ruthless until he became the apostle Paul. God, I'm believing, Lord, speaking life that somebody there finds them and teaches them and shows them and loves them so they too can be converted. How about speaking life and extending mercy to people?
Right.
That's really good.
Right? Yeah. Not ready to be like the Apostle Peter did in the garden 2,000 years ago this week, give or take. Want to chop somebody's ear off. He really wanted his head, in my opinion. But Jesus says in Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you give mercy, you get mercy. We control what we say. It's our vocabulary. It's our communication. It's your phone. It's your text messages. It's the words we use. It's the tone of our voice. So speak life. Speak life. Treat the cashier that's obviously having a bad day. Smile at him and tell him, I'm praying for you. And walk out. Right? Remember the golden rule? It's in the scripture. Matthew 7 and 12. Whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7 and 12. We've got to speak life. It's too much going on around us, whether you're looking for it or not, that is anti-Christ, anti-family, anti-you, right? Humanistic ideologies all around us. ruthless, crazy, riotous living taking place. And this is the season and time God has called us for. He called us for this time. He just trust you and I. He knows our limitations, but we know with him all things are possible. So I'm going to speak life. I'm not doom and gloom. This what Job said, though he slay me, I'll still trust him. Though he slay me, I'll still serve him. Though he slay me, I'll still worship him. Though he slay me, I'll still testify. Don't worry about the peer pressure. The moodiness, the grumpiness, the stress of this world. Pray that God would help you and give you wisdom. Manage your intake. Don't mix bad words with your bad mood. Right? But notice what Proverbs says. Wise, Proverbs 12 and 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. There are things that I have said, you have said, and have been said to me that in certain seasons or throughout the day sometimes or periods of time, those things just come back and they either encourage you, they frustrate you, bless you, or they bum you out. Mm-hmm. I want to speak life. I don't want to speak doom and gloom. Living for God, Brother Ronnie, is the blessed life. Yeah. Brother Bonham, it's the best life. Yeah. We got to speak life. Yeah. Songwriter said, you've tried everything else, and everything has failed. But we know Jesus doesn't fail. And so I want to worship. I don't want to complain. I want to praise. I don't want to murmur. I want to speak hope, not despair. I want to do what the psalmist says in Psalm 145 and 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of the majesty and of thy wondrous works. Yeah. Testify of the goodness of the Lord. Not brag about what sin and devil has been on your back and say, yeah, devil tried to get on my back and I threw him over and put him under my feet again and I stomped on him just because I could. I want to testify of the goodness of the Lord. I want to share what God is doing. I know there's a lot of stuff we're embarrassed about, but you shouldn't be embarrassed about your conversion and what God is doing in your life. You don't got to tell everybody your rap sheet, but tell them what the Lord, I got a lot of stuff in my past that stays in the past. I got some pains and aches and some bruises, some tattoos. I got this on the back of my head, and I'm not embarrassed by it because it's a testimony of what God has. Speak life! David says in Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall on Sundays be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth. We've got to quit blaming the devil for everything. He's good, but he's not that good. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I had a conversation with somebody this week, and I know they worked in the same building as somebody else that is a believer. But I didn't want to tell them. Because I know that person is a loose cannon with their tongue. I sure hope none of us have that kind of testimony. I hope that people don't fall over and pass out when they find out that You're a Christian. You're a believer. Do we speak the truth in love? Are we edifying? Are we edifying? Husbands, are you edifying your wife? Are you building her up? Right? If you complain about her shoes, go buy her some new shoes. If shoe fits, buy them in every color. Come on. Just don't charge it. Are we building each other up? Right? Building each other up. Praise God. It's good to see you. High five. Hey, listen. When we see somebody else that's obviously holiness from another church in town, hey, you ought to be like, don't ignore them. It's your brother and your sister. We're not in competition with them. High five. It's good to see you. Come on, somebody. Speak life. Just this week, somebody stopped me and asked me, hey, are you apostolic? You Pentecostal? I'm like, look at what shirt was out. And I said, yeah, I am. And I said, I sat down on the bench. I'm like, I go, are you? No. Well, but I don't know how he knew, he recognized, whatever. I wasn't wearing a skirt, you know, I don't know. But they, for some reason, he knew. That's not funny nowadays. You gotta be careful. But we gotta speak life. People are watching you on your job and at school and at the office and at the bank. They're watching you when you walk into church. You come out all bummed out. Either I'm doing something wrong or you're doing something wrong. When we come out, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. I'm excited. Jesus is working on me. I'm speaking life. The musicians would come. Young people, all the young people say amen. Amen. But Marquez, we got a big youth group. Amen. It says, but be thou an example of the believers. 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be a person of influence with your words that builds up, glorifies God. Right? 40% chance of rain tomorrow, the weatherman says. I'm just using that as an example. 40% chance of rain. That means you have a 60% chance that it's not going to rain. But you focus on, oh, it's going to rain today. 40%. No. 60% chance it's not going to rain. You know, I need to stay on track. Listen, Philippians 4:10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherefore you were careful, but ye lacked not opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of what I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Yeah.
Amen. So we stand tonight. No matter how your day went,
exactly,
how your week looks, what your calendar looks like, what your bank account looks like, what the person sitting next to you looks like, listen. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Nobody here is guaranteed the next 5 minutes.
No.
We got to speak life. We got to speak life. Tell yourself you're an overcomer, that you're more than a conqueror. God's got greater things in store for me. for my family, for my kids, for my business, for my marriage, for that the best is yet to be. I may have be filled with an incurable disease, so I'm getting to heaven before you, or I'm set up for a miracle. Either way, come on, somebody. What you've gone through has been an experience. It was either a trial or a tribulation, but God was with you. He's before you. He stands beside you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Come on, somebody. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're above. You're not beneath. You're anointed. God's blessed you. God loves you. He died on the cross for you. You're not perfect, but neither is anyone else in the world that's perfect. Come on, somebody. You're on your way to heaven. You may have messed up, but you know a God that is perfect and he loves you. I feel like telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, you need to start speaking life. You need to go home and start speaking life. At all times. At all times. At all times. Ah, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth.